want apple juice.
Lucas wants apple juice.
I know, I heard him
can
say
I
that.
Can I have apple juice?
Yeah, you can have apple juice.
Can I have soda?
Yes, you can have soda.
Can I press that button?
No, you can't press that button.
Why?
Because that's going to play the theme song. I'm not ready to start the pot.
He's not just Ty Dad, he's my dad.
James Gutman!
Can you think of a better way? I mean, any better way that you can start off a podcast by saying something, anything other than, what's up guys? James Gutman here on Hi Pod. I'm Dad. Welcome back. It's Friday. It is summer. How are you? You're loving it. It is another edition of the show. Whether you found me on any of the streaming services, thank you. I'm available everywhere, invading your earbuds, invading your AirPods, invading anything that you stick into your head. Hopefully you hear my voice. You may have found me on HiPodImDad.com. That's where all the archives are. You can find all the past episodes of the show. That along with HiBlogImDad.com, new blogs every Monday and Wednesday. Thank you for once again taking the time to listen. It means a lot to me. I love doing these things. I love getting a chance to talk to you guys. I love getting a break from the heat. It is ridiculous outside. Sweltering. Insanity. Luckily, though, you know, I've been able to take Lucas out. My son and I, we've gone to the pool, which was nice. Although I will tell you today, I walked up to him, and this is what he does. I'll give you guys an idea of what it's like dealing with a little nonverbal attitude. And I've written about this in the past, too. There's nothing funnier than getting attitude from your 12-year-old without words, without with no sense of communication, where he could pretty much give you a verbal attitude or a tone of voice. I brought him upstairs. I said, let's go to the pool. Do you want to go to the pool? You want to? And he's like looking at me and he's playing on his own. I'm like, do you want a pool? Me and you, we'll go to the pool? Pool is one of those words that sometimes I think he gets it. We'll start walking outside. You want to go to the pool? But then I don't know if we're walking outside. He already knows that, you know, 9 times out of 10, if we're walking, we're going to the playground or the pool. So I don't know if he knows exactly the word pool. So I bring him upstairs. And I show him a picture on my phone. I go, look, you in the pool. And it's him in the pool. And he taps it. He doesn't know what I want him to see on it. So I'm like, all right. I take out his bathing suit. I go, pool. And he takes the back of his hand and he swats it away. And I'm like, oh, he must not understand. I go, pool, do you want to go in the pool? And again, swats it away. I go, okay. And then I put the bathing suit into his closet. And he turns around and he gets into his bed. And I was like, you want to stay here? And he stares at me. I'm like, all right, are you sure? And I walk over to his door. Now, this is where I get the attitude. I walk over to his door. I'm like, you don't want to go? And he puts his hand up, and he does this quick grabby thing he does with his hand where it looks like, it's almost like he's quickly trying to grab a fly out of the air. It's this little motion he makes. And I kind of know what it means. And I'm like, I go, what are you doing? And he goes, he does it again, the hand motion. So I back up, and I close his gate on his door, which we have the gate on his door. And he kind of like looks at me. His eyes open up like as if to say like, good. And then he goes back to his iPad. I'm like, all right, I guess you want it chillier today. And to be honest with you, man, like I want to bring him to the pool. I like bringing him to the pool. And as a parent, I bring my kids out. You force them to go. You force them to do things. But in all honesty, this is his break. He doesn't go back to school for, you know, a couple of days more for the summer session. You hate to do it. You want your kids to be active. You want them to do things. You want them to go out. But like in days like that where they're, you know, they earn this time off. So he's earned this time off. Nobody works harder than my son. The amount of hours he goes to school, the amount of time he spends learning things. Yeah, man, so much respect for that kid. My daughter on top of it too, just tell you guys real quick, I don't talk about her too much. Again, she doesn't like me putting pictures off of her online unless I approve them with her and stuff like that. But she's working. She's doing really good this summer. This has been a good, busy summer. I pick her up sometimes. She's just like, oh, she's tired. Pretty crazy. It's crazy. You feel old. The older your kids get, the older you feel. It's kind of that. I look the same in my head, with the exception once in a while, you'll take a picture of yourself and you'd be like, oh my God, do I look like that? But for the most part, you look in the mirror, you're like, I've looked the same my whole life. I'm good. Whether or not that's true. But your kids grow and your kids change and it reminds you that you're older. So I try to give Lucas that time away. I said before, he works really hard and he tries really hard. And I wrote about that this past week. On Wednesday, I wrote about it. It was about balancing communication devices with language. And I built the blog on the idea that I've broached before with other blogs, which is about introducing his device. Lucas has a communication device. A little robotic voice speaks for him. Today, it is indispensable. I love having it. We don't use it all the time. Full transparency. We have it in the kitchen every once in a while. Like, I'll ask him what he wants, and it's just easier for have him bring me over to it or grab something. But I'll remember it's there. I'll be like, oh, come here. And I'll have him do the device. But when I first introduced it to him, I was afraid to introduce it to him. He was little. And it's like anything with an autism diagnosis, anything with a nonverbal warning, I guess you could say. You can't really say a nonverbal diagnosis, you know, because they never tell you your kid's never going to speak. They just tell you, like, well, maybe one day, but it's not happening now. He's two, he's three, he's four. But with that type of knowledge about your kid, that your kid's nonverbal, it brings with it a lot of concerns about, what am I doing? What have I done to either cause this? What am I doing to perpetuate it? Am I not doing what's right? Because it seems like an emergency. Feels like an emergency. The worst part about my son being nonverbal is that there's never a day that I have, well, the worst part then, I should say, the worst part then about my son being nonverbal, about learning about that he's nonverbal, is that there's never a day where, like, now you know for sure. Where they're like, okay, what happens is babies talk, but if they hit, you know, 35 months, that's the exact time, and they don't talk, then they're going to be nonverbal. Nobody does that. So you're perpetually waiting. I was always waiting for a word. I was always waiting for some sort of something back and forth. And eventually what ended up happening was I started to realize that it wasn't as important. There were other ways to do it. But to realize there were other ways to do it, other ways for him to communicate, required me as his father being okay with introducing those other ways to communicate. When your kid is nonverbal and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, he might still talk. He might still talk tomorrow. And somebody goes, well, why don't you give him a device to press buttons? And you're like, well, I don't want him to press buttons because I want him to speak. Yeah, but this is in the meantime. Yeah, but should we not be teaching him this? Shouldn't we be teaching him language? And there's so many things that you get all caught up in it. And what I ended up doing was I ended up giving him the device, allowing my son to use this thing from the school. They put it together. They programmed it. They taught him. And I knew from the beginning, you know, as a dad, as a man, as a parent, whatever, you know, sometimes when you're standing in the way of something wrong, like that is wrong to stand in the way of, phrasing something wrong. You don't want to stand in the way of something that you're not supposed to be standing in the way of. And sometimes you do it for the wrong reasons. You do it for fear. You do it for pride. You do it for all these different things. And, you know, everybody has that. It's not just with nonverbal kids. You'll do it with any kid. Your kid doesn't write his name correctly with a pencil, and they want to give him that little pencil holder thing. Remember that? I used to use that in school, the little triangle. They stick it on the pencil. They're like, here, you can't write. Use this. It would be like not allowing your child to use that. And it's like, well, I want him to really be able to write, but he needs assistance. I'm not going to let him not have it. So without this device, Lucas would have had no voice. So what I did was, I was okay with it. Give him the device. But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop trying to teach him how to speak. And we have through the years. And there's been almost moments, you know, I told you guys, and since he was a baby, I would say, Lucas, who does daddy love? And then I would take his hand, I would tap his chest, and I'd go, me. And I would do it in a high-pitched voice, me, me, me. And to this day, if I say, who does daddy love? He taps his chest and is really cute. But there was actually one time where he said me. And I freaked out. I'm like, who does daddy love? He went, meh. I'm like, oh, I freaked out. I might have been on an accident. I think it was just a reaction. But there was that moment. Then there's the high moments. And this has been long running in his life where he will say, say hi, hi, like that. And he'll open his mouth. He makes this little smile. He goes, hi, like that. And that's been touch and go. That sometimes he does it, sometimes he doesn't. But that is an anomaly because my son doesn't imitate mouth movements. That's the big thing, man. When I found out that he might not speak and I started learning about children who are nonverbal, I remember thinking, like, how are they nonverbal? Just have them make the sound you're making. Why can't they do it? Because he was imitating everything. Lucas can wave and he can fist bump. And like I told him, I fist bump in 3 seconds. He's doing fist bumps. But something about the mouth, something about speaking, something about even just releasing air, it's so hard to get him to do it. So he would come back and forth with a, like, you know. And then this past week, I started to notice that he was imitating mouth movements a little bit. I would do something with my mouth. I'm like, is he moving his mouth? So I went back to the high. I'd be like, Lucas, look at me. I say, ha, ha. It's not so slick when I say, ha, Lucas. And he puts his mouth like in the ha position. And sometimes you'll hear the breath. But then he started doing this thing that I've never seen him do before, where he squinted his eyes and he leaned his head back and he was like, and it almost sounded like he was choking a little bit. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? And every time he does that, and he would cough during it. So look, I don't know. This could be something when school starts again and we talk to the people he works with. I want to bring it up. I want to find out. Maybe he's accessing a part of his vocal cords that's wrong. Maybe there's something that's off about what's happening in a good way, in a way that for the first time in his life, we can now maybe analyze, like, what is happening here? Why exactly is it happening like this? But that would have never happened if I just stopped. If I just gave him the device and go, this is what he's going to do now. He's going to do the device. We'll just work on that and nothing else ever. No. Now, look, the device has gotten, you know, front and center attention where we have, you know, worked on it. And the reason why the device has gotten front and center attention is because that's the bulk of his communication. I want him to speak, right? But he has a whole life to live. He has to request food. He has to request things he needs. He has to grow up. And he can't do that just being like, ha, you know, like he needs a vocabulary to be able to tell you what he wants and what he wants to do. So as his father, as a parent, as somebody who loves him, it's important to allow him to have that voice, to allow him to do that. And I think other parents out there who are facing the same decisions, you have to recognize when it's pride versus, you know, necessity, or fear versus necessity. I can't imagine being a little kid and being able to speak, but just thinking like, I'm not even going to try because I can just press these buttons. That's not it. He needed the buttons because he needs the buttons, because obviously now as we're working on it, we're learning that there are maybe aspects to his voice and how he uses, you know, his throat and his, you know, vocal cords in a way that maybe isn't correct. And maybe that's what's causing this. So we'll find out what'll happen. But in the meantime, I'm so glad I gave him this device. I'm so glad that, you know, I got over it myself. It's important. It's been a huge part of his life. I don't know. It means the world to me. And I hope one day he's able to walk up to people and be like, ha, you know, and we'll see if that's the case. But regardless, I know that he's going to be able to walk up to somebody one day and be able to press buttons and say, I want pirate booty, because I hear him do it every day. So as his dad, it's been successful in that respect. As his dad, successful, hopefully, in what we're doing moving forward. And just another example of how you never give up. You just try everything you can. And just because you find something that works doesn't mean that you don't look elsewhere too to see how much you can give him. I want my kid to do everything. I want him to talk. I want him to drive a car. I want him to be able to fly by flapping his wings. I want all of that stuff. So I don't know. Got a big future ahead. Very excited. I'm very excited about what's coming up next week on the blog. I'm very excited about next week's podcast. And I'm very excited that you guys have always found a place to come listen to me. Thank you. That means a lot to me. I appreciate it. That does it for me. Remember, I'm on all social media at Hi James Gutman. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram. And now you can find me on Threads. It's this new social media app, I guess, like Twitter for Instagram, like 80 billion people signed up for it. So I'm on there too. It's all at Hi H-I James Gutman, not the other one. Stop it, Snoop. Find me, follow me. Thank you. I appreciate it. Until next time, James Gutman saying, be well. Bye, Pod. I'm Dad.